Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard and the team with you for the next half hour ahead of another busy weekend of sporting action on Ireland and beyond coming up tonight. Three cup competitions, including the semi-finals of the Hospital Cup, are the main attraction in this weekend's football ties in the last few weeks of the season. The grand finale to the current Manx rugby campaign awaits tomorrow with the Manx Cup Finals Day at Ballafletcher. And one of the Isle of Man's national hockey sides is London-bound this weekend for a chance of glory in the England Hockey Championships. That is all to come this evening. Very good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. We're here with you for the next half an hour to take a look at the football, rugby and hockey action taking place on the Isle of Man and, of course, further afield. And we're going to change things up a little bit this evening because we're going to talk hockey first. Although the domestic campaign came to an end last weekend with the Cup Finals, it is not over for one of the Isle of Man's national sides because they have a glorious opportunity to put the Isle of Man into the headlines when they challenge for England Hockey Championship glory this weekend. The Isle of Man Ladies B squad are heading to Lee Valley in London on Bank Holiday Monday to take on Sunbury and Walton Hawks in the final of the Women's England Hockey Tier 3 Plate competition. We are joined this evening by our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. We'll be hearing from him in the next few moments, but we're going to talk with someone who's right at the helm of what's been going on with the Isle of Man Ladies B squad and their journey this year. It is team manager Jamie Brown. Jamie, very good evening. It's been a while since we last had you on here.
That's it. Hi, Rob.
So, I suppose before we get to the final itself, it's been a long old season for the national team as well as the domestic teams because this started all the way back in October, starting out in the Tier 3 Knockout Championships. Defeat in the opening round, meaning dropping into the Tier 3 plate. But ever since then, it seems like the team hasn't looked back. I mean, how's it kind of been for everyone, I guess, so far?
Yeah, well, for the Ireland B team, it's been a sort of like... It's the squad's sort of mixed with juniors and seniors' experience and the legs basically, and that team really gelled from even losing in the first game. They took that, learned lessons, and really jumped into the next game and, you know, wanted it.
I think we've seen that in the last couple of years, not just the ladies set up in the national teams, but also the men's side of things, moving from one team to two. And it seems as in the men's B team, to a certain extent as well, there has been that chance for players to develop and be exposed to a level of hockey that they may not otherwise get on the island as well. So just on what you said of the ladies' side, how valuable would this be to these players, not just this season, but going forward?
Well, that's it. And I don't want to call it a gap team, but they're sort of filling in this spot between the under-18s and the senior men's, that when they leave the under-18s team, there was a few players getting lost, and they've really, a few certain players, especially the ladies and the men's B team this year, really stepped up, and they wouldn't have this exposure to English hockey that we've given, they've got the chance to play in. And this final for the girls at the weekend is going to be a great experience. I mean, we've done it with the Ireland team before, the men's first team, and it just the experience to play at the Olympic Park where like international hockey's played in London is just a cracking experience, and they're going to love it.
Absolutely, yeah. Lee Valley as well. It's hallowed ground, I guess, for hockey ever since the 2012 Olympics in London, of course. But not just for what other teams can do for yourselves in terms of providing players experience, and as we say, exposing players to a certain type of hockey they wouldn't have seen before. But what do you think this journey says, I suppose, about Isle of Man hockey showcasing itself against these other teams and the quality that these other teams are seeing and going, actually, these teams go really far into competitions. They've got a lot to offer.
Well, that's it, and we've always said like the small island punches well above its weight in most sports categories, but hockey is the same, and for such a small nation, we do really well. And the Ireland men's, for example, we're away at counties next weekend. I'm sure we'll probably be back up here, but they compete against really large counties and massive populations, where in the millions rather than us in the thousands, where we really do punch above our weight.
Absolutely. We'll turn into the game itself this weekend. So Bank Holiday Monday, 12:30, pushback at Lee Valley against Sunbury and Walton Hawks as well. Very generally, how's everyone feeling about it?
Yeah. It's been, I mean, we had I'm going to call it a tough training session on Tuesday night down at KWC because I think there was a lot of nerves and people excited. We're trying to get a few set pieces and everything sorted before we go away. And it's been hard as a coach because we've had 20 odd players in the squad itself, and we've got to drop it down to 16. So we've got 16 in numbers, and we've got probably another 16 supporters coming down. So we're hopefully to have good numbers down there supporting us.
Like, say, is it a nice problem to have though? Like you say, with 20 odd in the squad and having to whittle it down. Of course, some are going to have to be disappointed. But is that a nice problem to have, knowing you've got that quality outside of, let's say, bare bones? Shall we say?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, it gives your coaches and your managers a bit of a headache. But to have the quality and the choice and to pick the players we want is a great experience. Yeah.
And just finally as well, I'm certainly not going to ask you to make any predictions or anything like that, but you know, if you were to get things over the line this weekend, just what would it say about the efforts of yourself, the team and Manx hockey in general if it was to be a successful trip?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work goes in. Luckily, I've got a good supporting team around me. My girlfriend Kim, she organises all the girls, make sure they turn up on time where they need to be, and we've got Sarah who does all the logistics, getting teams over here, going away, and even the from the help and support from the MHA and the Hockey Umpires Association this year has been fantastic. They've supplied umpires to go away and travel with us at their cost, so they've been it's been a really great experience for them. And I don't want to put any scores on it, but the girls can go the whole way comfortably, I reckon.
Actually, just to add on as well, because we did see the Manx Hockey Association put something out there as well that to hopefully aid your efforts this weekend with all the costs that are involved. The MHA has been seeking sponsorship as well to try and help you in your journey to London this weekend.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of sponsors on board. We've got the Print Shed and Hansard have helped out some personal financing. So it's been great to see.
Like someone, Jamie, thanks very much. That's right. We wish you all the very best this weekend. So that is Jamie Brown, the coach of the Isle of Man Ladies B national hockey squad, ahead of their trip to take on Sunbury and Walton Hawks first 11 at Lee Valley Hockey Ground in London, Bank Holiday Monday the 5th of May, a 12:30 p.m. pushback in the final of the England Hockey Women's Tier 3 Plate competition. We wish them the best of luck. Well, very quickly, we'll bring in our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. And Ben, we've talked about this team and all the national teams throughout the season in their respective competitions, and we saw it previously. Obviously, at likes of junior level, for example, in the last couple of years, reaching finals and having some success as well. To see one of the senior squads in there as well, that's a great thing to showcase the Isle of Man's hockeying ability, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And like Jamie said, we really do just wish them all the best this weekend. It's great to see the senior team in the final. Okay, the junior squads as well have all had great seasons as well, but as Jamie said, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the background. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that organise this, and they deserve credit as well, because without them, these stuff wouldn't happen.
And from a player perspective, we'll get to the other matters just in a second, but from the player perspective, there seems to be continuously a steady stream for those who don't know the system of the, you've got the senior teams at the top, but the age groups filter down quite steadily in some ways as well. And we see it every so often that in these senior teams, players under the age of 18 or in some cases even under the age of 16 are breaking into these senior squads as well. So the system, do you think it complements itself quite well?
I do. I really do think it does complement itself. And the likes of, for the juniors, we've got the Talent Academy that also happens as well. And that gives them an insight because they're getting coaching from England hockey coaches, which brings them forward and then builds them up into this situation. And then again, like we say, after they've played in that last junior squad section, which I think it's under 18, under 18, then they go into the senior squads. And this season, it's been great just to see both men's and ladies both having two teams in as well. So it's been great to see that they've had the opportunity to come through, because as Jamie said, there's 20 players that were available this weekend for that ladies' second team. And it's great to see just lots of support from all the clubs.
Excellent, Ben. Thank you very much. And thank you once again to Jamie Brown, the coach of the Isle of Man Ladies B National Hockey Squad. We wish them all the best for the Bank Holiday weekend.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, we're going to turn our attention to football now and into the crunch phase of the season. Just a couple of weeks remaining. Only a handful of league games still having to take place. A bit of a tidying up process, if you like, from the Football Association. The focus very much on cup competitions, and no fewer than three of those this weekend across Saturday and Sunday. And to go through things as ever is our football correspondent, Tony. Very good evening to you.
Good evening, Rob. And weather conditions, we always have a look at them, and absolutely perfect. Pitches are going to be hard. Blister pads, I'm sure, will be on somewhere along the line. But what a sort of lot of juicy fixtures this weekend when you look at the Hospital Cup and then, you know, one of the Paul Henry semi-finals and also the other sort of Junior Cup on Sunday. It's absolutely fantastic, and it's a sign of the season coming to an end.
Indeed. Just before we get to the weekend fixtures, congratulations in order to Onken for winning the Canada Life Combination One League title in midweek.
Very much so, and well done to them, because they led it for a lot of the season, to be fair. And then Ramsey and Rushen just sort of gathered momentum and really pushed hard on them. But, you know, they didn't kick a ball and they won it. And, you know, the second and third place teams, which was Rushen and Ramsey, had a right good battle. But, yeah, the trophy will be presented tomorrow, Rob, up at Foxdale. And let the boys enjoy the session, I'm sure, afterwards when the game is completed and probably going into the early hours of Sunday.
Well, that was on Wednesday. Well, a day before that, of course, we must mention the Douglas High School Old Boys heading back to the top flight after a couple of seasons' absence from the Premier League as well. A 96th-minute winner from Jacob Stones, seeing get past Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, their promotion rivals, by 2-1, because it was winner-takes-all that game.
It certainly was, and by all accounts, the crowd was incredible. Right the way up Blackberry Lane, the car park was full, and even down onto Summerhill as well. And what a entertaining game they had to watch. But as you rightly say, Jacob Stones it was, who's been in impressive form this season, got the all-important winner. But let's not forget Martin King's goal just before that, because that's his first goal of the season. Speaking to Martin this week, he said that it would have been probably the first season in his football career playing senior football he hadn't scored. So that was a good result for him. But, you know, well done to them. They've worked hard. They've got some really good young players coming in. And people like Robbie Ward and Drew Ward coming in at the end of the season have just proved that they've got good players in there, and they'll be looking to take the game away from Laxey tomorrow.
Indeed. Let's turn our attention then to this weekend. The semi-finals of three competitions taking place. Well, one of the semi-finals in one of the competitions. We'll come to that in a moment. Let's turn our attention to Saturday then, and the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals. Both games kicking off at 2 p.m. up north of the Ballacloan Stadium. Ramsey will be taking on Peel, who beat Ayr United in midweek in their rearranged quarter-final.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, you look at Ayr, what went wrong. When you look at they were down to nine players at one stage, but I think the damage had been done already by sort of Peel, and Thomas Brown again proving his worth with a goal from the penalty spot, and Paul Whitehead got one as well. But, you know, Ayr United would be disappointed, but they can't win everything, and sort of Peel with the league would love to have a cup trophy in that cabinet as well. And against Ramsey, this will be a great battle, because it's a beautiful stadium, great place to have a game of football. And when you look at Ramsey 7 days ago, they were going for all sorts of trophies. Well, they've lost out on two of them, but certainly this one, they start off as a real good, hopeful team to get the result away from Peel. I think it's going to be a real challenge. It'll go to extra time. I think it'll go that way. Whether it goes to penalties, don't like that one, but I think it'll go all the way. And may the best team win, but maybe Peel, just on the edge of it at the moment, might just take it away from Ramsey.
And in the other semi-final, we mentioned Douglas High School Old Boys before, and the fact that on Tuesday night they secured passage back to the Canada Life Men's Premier League for next season. Well, they are the only remaining Division 2 side left in the competition, and they've got a trip to Glen Road to manage up against Laxey as well. So maybe, regardless of result in some ways, this could be a bit of a test for them to see something of what they could be up against next season. But Douglas High School Old Boys, they'll be fancying their chances.
They will fancy their chances. And I think Andrew Ward's not available this week, but Robbie Ward will be there. Jacob Stones will be there. We'll just wait and see how it goes. But, you know, right the way through, I think Old Boys have battled really hard. They didn't have a great start to the season, but to get back up in the Premiership is important, because them young players that they attracted to the club, that's what they want. And they're good enough, I think, to sort of hold their own in the league a little bit. But it's going to be tough. They're going to be, I think, in the bottom half unless they get new players. But this is a great showcase for them to just see how they could do in this league, because, you know, Laxey, you know, last year they got to the final and it didn't quite happen for them. This year they want to go that step further. And I think Johnny Palmer's team there are looking quite strong. I saw the team that has been announced out to them. And when you look at people like Eric Hill, it's been a find for this season. Charlie Robinson will probably play. He can score goals. Then I just think Laxey will prove a real tough nut to crack for Old Boys. But the pitch will suit Old Boys, I think. You know, a little bit tighter. They play the ball well. But I'm going to go for Laxey to win it.
Very well. Then also at 2 o'clock on Saturday is one of the Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-finals, and Braddon at home, already Division Two champions, of course, and winning the GH Call at Woods Cup back on Easter weekend. They're going to be hosting Colby, Tony, who not quite a like-for-like repeat, but battling towards the top again this season of Division Two, flirting with those promotion places, if you like. They haven't quite reached those heights though, but potentially a chance for them to show their mettle again against a very strong Braddon team.
I think it's been tough to win the Division Two this year, because when you look at Ramsey Youth Centre, you look at Old Boys, you've had Colby, Braddon, there's been real battles on. I know it might sound a bit strange, but they're going to have the Division Two trophy presented to them after this game as well, because unfortunately the game that was set up midweek against Castletown couldn't field a team, so the trophy wasn't presented. But I think Braddon will start off as favourites in this one. They've got a full strength side, and I just think with one or two really good players coming through, we know about Dankenrade, but I think Thomas Healy was superb in the Woods Cup final, really impressed with him. And then when you look at Liam Kane's involved in there, you've got Mark O'Neill. I think right the way through that team is pretty strong, but this will be a close battle, and Colby have got their goal scorers, and if they can get them amongst the goals, then it could be a real challenge for Braddon to get a possible another trophy. But let's see how it goes. League, okay, Braddon top, Colby fourth. I'm going to go for Braddon to win it.
And the only other game on Saturday is one league fixture, bit of tidying up process in Canada Life Combination 1. 2:30 PM kickoff at Billy Goat Park. Onken, the newly crowned champions in midweek, playing their final game of the season against Foxdale, bottom of the table. So it's bottom versus top.
Yeah, and I think you've got to go for Onken in this one. I know Foxdale might have one or two players back in there, because I don't think Jason Charmer and Lee Gale played in the last first team game. So that would make them fit to play in this one. But, you know, Onken, congratulations to them. They're a great club, great youth setup, and right the way through the whole season, they've battled hard at the top of this table. And I apologise, because I know around Christmas time, I just thought that the way sort of Ramsey and Rushen had stepped up a gear, I thought they were going to take it away from them. But Onken have done it. Congratulations, and I think they'll do it tomorrow.
And then into Sunday, the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup semi-finals, both 2 o'clock kickoffs again. We have St Mary's against Rushen United.
Going to go for Rushen to win this one. Again, I don't know what St Mary's full-strength squad is like, but certainly Rushen have done well in this competition. There's all sorts of teams, strong teams being thrown at them, and they've managed to win the games right the way through. This game, just to confirm, is being played at the Bowl, but slight later kickoff, 2:30 it'll be, due to the booking time. But I'm going to go for Rushen to win.
And in the other, St John's United, who've taken a couple of big scalps in this competition already this season, up against Ayr United, looking pretty steady themselves.
Yeah, and you've got to remember in St John's as well, they've got the league's top goalscorer in Liam Sale, and he'll be looking to sort of put a show on as well. He scored a couple of cracking goals in the last competition. Ayr United, well, they defeated Corinthians in a good battle in that as well. So, you know, Ayr have got one or two players, I think, in first-team players, so that makes them stronger. But I just think Liam and everyone else at St John's, I think they're really in momentum, and they want to get to the final, and I think they'll beat Ayr.
And last but certainly not least, one of the Masters FA Cup semi-finals due to take place at 2 o'clock this at Colby, Peel versus Colby.
Yeah, and unfortunately we couldn't get the other game on, Onken and Ayr, because Ayr are playing in the Junior Cup. But Peel against Colby, I'm going to go for Colby to win it. I just think they'll prove too strong. And Colby, it was a shame really that the last game was cancelled, because they could have possibly won the league. They would have had to scored an awful amount of goals. So I don't think it would have happened, but rules are rules. And Colby were crowned as Masters champions.
Tony Meppen, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, this weekend marks the finale to the 24-25 Isle of Man rugby season as well. Manx Cup Finals weekend beckons over at Bala Fletcher. And here with all the details ahead of that is our rugby correspondent, Dave Christian, for what we think will be the final time on Friday Sport Preview for this campaign. I think we hasten to add here. But this weekend, of course, a little bit of a changing scenario in the last couple of weeks with the Manx Cup and Manx Plate competitions. But 3 o'clock at Bala Fletcher on Saturday, we see Douglas, the reigning champions, up against Vagabond.
Yeah, Rob, I bill this as the Manx Old Firm. The two have knocked lumps out of each other for a long number of years in the final of the Manx Cup. I can't remember who's on top in terms of victories. Vagabonds were pretty dominant throughout the 80s and early 90s, but Douglas have had their patches both before and after, so it's pretty much even Stevens. Right now, though, Douglas are the dominant force in domestic rugby. Their team is so far and away better than everybody else, so they go into this final as the overwhelming favourites. In fact, if Vagabonds pull this off tomorrow, fingers crossed that they put in a good shift and it's a close game, but if Vagabonds pull this off, it's going to be something cataclysmic. No shock like it since your predecessor Tim Glover last bought a round of drinks. It's probably the best way I can describe it. That said, Vagabonds, watched them last week against Southern Nomads. The front five were in excellent form. They bossed the Nomads pack, kept the game tight, shut the defence down. And Nomads had a very potent back line, but they found no way through that Vagabond defence. They're going to have to do that and a lot more, I think, to keep Douglas out. Douglas have got the pace men out wide. They've got the pack that will do the job. And that pack that can do the job in the tight phases is pretty mobile as well. So it's going to be a big day for Vagabonds and a lot of hard work for them. The Douglas side, Phil Kringle, has announced his team. To be fair to Phil, and I know there was the hullabaloo about Ramsey and player safety concerns, but Phil and down at Douglas doesn't have two teams to pick from. He's got about a team and a half at best. He has to pick what he's got to pick, and you can't really fault him for that. He's put in, I know it's Ollie Howard at fullback. That'll make a little bit of a difference. And I see Will Fewson getting a start in the second row again. There's signs that Phil and Douglas are a little bit sensitive to the gulf in the playing standards. But he's got plenty of cavalry on the bench and he's got plenty of big hitters in the starting 15. So I don't see this as anything else but a Douglas win.
And just very quickly, Dave, 60 seconds here, but that's not the only game taking place at Ballofletcher tomorrow.
Yeah, we've got a girls and ladies training stroke match event. That kicks off at 12 o'clock. And then at 1 o'clock, we've got Southern Nomads who will play a... I'm hearing it might be a plate final, but it was originally touted as a friendly. But Southern Nomads will be playing an Isle of Man Barbarian side made up of anybody else who's not in action on Saturday afternoon. So it all starts at 12. We've got the warm-up game at 1 and then the grand finale at 3.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, finally, this evening, tonight sees the start of the Isle of Man Youth and Junior Cycling Tour, with hundreds of upcoming talents in the sport set to race on Ireland over the next 3 days. Event co-organiser Rob Holden explains why some see this as a standout fixture on the British Cycling Youth Series calendar.
Well, there's a bit of a double-edged sword going on, really, because we're unique in so much that by racers of this age normally have to ride on man-made circuits, usually about 1 kilometre long. Quite artificial, but do the job. Great for coasting, etc. What's unique about the Isle of Man is, certainly from our perspective, is that we have closed real roads. You know, so Friday night we're down on the promenade walkway for a really short time trial. And then on Saturday we're around the Ellerslie circuit we've used for a while, which is really challenging. You know, you don't see that in races for age groups, shall I say. So, you know, the kids absolutely love that. They feel like they're basically riding the Tour de France and doing what they see on, you know, they see their heroes doing on TV. And then we move up north on Sunday for a flatter circuit around Jerby. So they get a real opportunity to do something really different to what they normally do. And you know, I go back to, there's so much sport on TV and there's so much cycling on TV. So these kids are now growing up watching a lot of their heroes on TV a lot of the time and can actually go and do what their heroes are doing. So I think we are unique in that way. We're different. You know, the challenges of getting here financially, logistically, you know, once they're here, they, you know, they absolutely love it. And, you know, the thing what always astonishes me with kids, they're pretty resilient, they're tough, you know, they go out racing. I know we've got good weather forecast for this weekend, but, you know, we've had atrocious weather and they just get on with it, you know. And it's, I always love watching some of these young kids, and I'm watching some of them on TV now that have been to the Isle of Man before. So many of them are coming through, and you see them. I won't say they've started here, but we've seen them here and they've raced here. And, you know, we usually get a mention somewhere online, you know, with good memories of being here. So tough to get here, but once they're here, they absolutely love it because it is so different.
That's the Alaban Youth and Junior Cycling Tour co-organiser Rob Holden there with the event now underway with the opening time trial on the Douglas Promenade at the moment. So just to give you a reminder of some of those road closures that are in place over the next 3 days for the Alaban Youth and Junior Cycling Tour. So today, road closures currently in place on Douglas Promenade Walkway between the War Memorial and also the Bottleneck Car Park. They're in place until approximately 10 p.m, possibly sooner, depending on how the event progresses. Well, tomorrow there is a series of road races taking place on what is known as the Ellerslie course. Road closure is expected to be in place between 9:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. The A26 Glenvine to Ballasalla Road, the C11 Ellerslie Farm Road, B35 Garth Road and the A24 Foxdale to Cuag Hill Road are among those to be affected. And then on the Sunday, closures between 10 a.m. and approximately 4:30 p.m. for what's known as the Jerby course up in the north of the island. The B4 Summerhill Road, B3 Bretney Road, the B3 Jerby East Road and the A17 Andreas Road and A13 St Jude's Road are all expected to be affected. And you can find full details on those over on the Isle of Man Sports Hub at www.manxradio.com if you need any details on those road closures as well. And if we're talking cycling as well, of course we had the news today that the Isle of Man squad for the 2025 Ireland Games, the Isle of Man cycling squad, has been announced this afternoon. So if you've missed those, we can bring those names to you. Well, five of those were included in the previous games in 2023. Mark Hosthouse and Niall Quiggin, they were part of the last road racing events, and also Owen Collins, Ross Thorley and Eric Kelly, they were part of the mountain bike disciplines. The men's mountain bike team took two team bronzes. New additions this year, Tyler Hannay, along with Ivan Sorby, Callum Salisbury and Kian Howard. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Have yourself a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing, and have a wonderful weekend as well. This programme, if you'd like to catch up this evening, will be available as a podcast shortly after, and more information at manxradio.com. But for me and the team, for now, it is have a very good evening.
Manx Radio Sport.